This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers.
Hey backpackers, Bird Shooter here. Tonight, Dan Kreisberg joins the show to talk about how to raise an outdoor kid. Dan is a naturalist, teacher, and a writer with numerous books, articles, and newspaper columns to his credit. Many are focused on teaching children how to appreciate the wilderness. So in the podcast tonight, we discuss hiking and backpacking with kids, taking a toddler on their first camping trip, mistakes parents make, and what to do before and after you hit the trail. Dan also tells us about his 40-plus years backpacking, how he raised an outdoor family, and about his hiking plans now that his kids are grown adults. Here's episode 80. All right, this is Bird Shooter. I'd like to welcome Dan Kreisberg to the show. Dan has had a lengthy career as a naturalist, an avid hiker, and backpacker, and he has written numerous articles and a few books on the outdoors, has appeared in Backpacker Magazine, and is here tonight to discuss camping, hiking, and backpacking with your kids. Dan, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So you're coming to us from Long Island, New York. Is that what I understand?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yep. So how's the what? You're in the fall right now. It's probably beautiful weather up there right now.
Oh yeah, the past month has been great. It's barely rained, which has been good. I'm a school teacher, so we've been able to keep the kids outside a lot more than usual. So we need that this fall.
Yeah, we had big plans to go to the mountains this weekend, Dan, and they just got sabotaged by a hurricane that's blowing up through here, and it's taking us out for the weekend, which is a bummer. But I'll make up for it somewhere here in the next few weeks, I promise you.
All right, good.
So I read on your website that you have been backpacking for over 40 years. That's impressive. I have to ask the first question, and that is, when did it all start and where did you go?
Well, it started, I guess, I got the idea or the inspiration. My family, we did that wonderful trip to the national parks out west, and we were in Yosemite National Park, and I know I've been interested in the outdoors and nature and birds and all that stuff as a kid. And I just saw these backpackers leaning, I can still vividly remember, sort of leaning against the railing outside the store. And they just looked so cool. And I really wanted to go backpacking. My parents, you know, they were take us hiking, but they weren't going to go take me camping or backpacking. So I convinced them when I was 16 to send me to like a backpacking camp and one of those outdoor camps. And that was, you know, I learned a little, you know, learned some about it, but really what got me going is a friend of mine in high school, he was into it. I was in, you know, so we just started going on our own and learning for ourselves through mistakes and fun. And so yeah, high school really got it going in high school.
Yeah. The school of hard knocks, no better teacher.
Yeah,
for sure. So, I mean, you've been backpacking as long as I have basically. So I'm so curious to ask you, you know, early 80s versus now.
Yeah.
You want to comment on how things are different?
Well, equipment wise, I think the biggest thing is the clothes dry a lot faster.
Yeah.
You know, we used to go as, you know, wool and cotton and mainly wool, I guess, but everything just stayed wet. And I, you know, the Northeast and the Adirondacks, I mean, it always rained. So just the fact that clothes dry faster, I would say, is a really wonderful invention.
Agreed.
You know, and I guess not so much a gear thing, but, you know, having a little more money as an adult so that you could get some nicer equipment, that was overall a benefit. I mean, the biggest change, though, has been the ability to communicate, which has pros and cons. But, you know, I used to go out for 10, you know, for long trips and, you know, no one knew where I was or just who I was with, you know. And now, you know, the way that you communicate with people back home, I mean, I guess that would certainly be the biggest difference.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember in the earlier years trying to meet buddies at trailheads or you know, a lot of times we'd have to meet in town at like a Burger King, you know, that was 30 minutes from the trailhead, you know, if I had a friend coming from a few hours away. And, you know, cell phones have changed that whole meetup situation significantly. So you're dead on that one. And I can tell you, too, being in the South, as sticky and as wet and hot as it can be here, those quick dry clothes are, what a godsend those are. No question. Do you have on that topic, are there, you know, if I had to say your three pieces of hiking gear that you've been most happy about innovations on, clothing is obviously one of them. What would be the other two?
I guess the lightweight tents, you know, that's been a, you know, that's an example. I had a Eureka tent forever, but then, you know, I just recently actually bought more of a lightweight tent. It's like, wow, this is really nice. It stuffs into, you know, this tiny little bag, hardly goes or anything. You know, the pole is, you know, your hiking pole is the pole for the tent. So that's been a pretty cool change. And stoves. I mean, I guess, you know, I remember in the beginning, you know, who wanted to spend money on a stove? So we had a camp, you know, you have to find wood, have a fire, you know, the pot would get black, you know, and all that stuff. So actually, you know, having a stove thing like a big deal when, you know, back in those days.
Yeah, those new pocket rockets, they hardly wear anything. They're awesome. Yeah, agreed. And I think of the old headlamps too. I don't know if you remember the headlamps that had, you know, what, 3 or 4 D batteries and a coal miner kind of contraption on the back of your head and a giant light on the front. But
you had the flashlight in your mouth.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. Another thing I just thought, and like, I guess another big thing is like now, options for not freeze-dried food, but just, you know, going to a food store, there's so many more options of easy things, you know, different foods from different kinds of countries and places. It's not just, you don't have to just have pasta or rice every night.
Yeah, it's true.
Easy things to boil and throw in the stove. So I guess the food variety has also changed a lot.
We've come a long way, Dan. I think you and I might be showing our age here a little bit, but happy to be where we are in the in the 2020 year. So you reached out to me at the website with a comment, which I think is really accurate, and I just wanted to call this out. And you said that you know you obviously listen to a lot of podcasts. A lot of the podcasts out there talk about long distance through hiking, epic backpacking trips to these exotic places. But there's not a lot of focus on the basics, essentially. You know, the hikes for those that have full-time jobs and a mortgage and, you know, the people that have to wait for their dreams to come true for one reason or another. Have you managed to pull off a through hike in there somewhere?
Not a through hike. Like, I've done the long trail, but that was over a couple summers. You know, I've done the North of Lake Placid Trail, which is a trail through the Adirondacks. That was also in sections. I've done, it's not really a through hike, but up here in the Adirondacks, we have the 46ers, which are the 46 mountains over 4,000 feet. And that's kind of an achievement a lot of backpackers in this area look for. And so I finally did that, but that was over a lot of years. So yeah, I haven't done like that big through hike all through yet, but, it's been more, this here, that here, fitting it into all the other things, all the other good things that are going on.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, any way you can get it in, right? So that's definitely respectable. Is there anything at the top of your list to do that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, there's a lot on that list, I guess.
You're like me.
You know, yeah. I mean, I've always dreamed of doing, you know, I guess from way back, I thought I'd really want to do the John Muir Trail. I don't think I've ever, I don't really dream, you know, I guess super dream would be the Pacific Crest Trail, but some ways I don't want to lock myself into one place. I mean, it just, I guess in my dream would be like every month, take like a 1 or 2 week trip, you know, just kind of following the season through the United States, you know, go to the Cascades and then go to the Sierras and go to, Canyonlands area, just kind of work my way around the country, you know, depending on the season. It's hard to pick one. It'd be hard to just pick one place.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to explore the United States, actually.
I like
that idea.
Yeah. I did imagine out some and, you know, sort of picked out which places to go and did a little research on the trails and, you know, maybe someday at least do some of them.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I've done some.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, Long Trail is certainly, you know, not, what is it now, around 250 miles, somewhere in there, is that right?
Yeah, 210 leaps to mind, but yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, so
something
I mean, it's like legit. I mean, any advice? Because I completely support having, I'm a, you know, currently in the same situation as you are, right? It's not like I can just drop everything and take off for 6 months very easily. I could certainly do it. I'm not sure my wife would be here when I got back. Right. But any advice to someone that, you know, aspires to even doing the long trail or, you know, some of these more manageable trails if they can get a couple weeks off work, just on how to pull it off?
Well, I guess, you know, you got to... I think how to put it. Everything depends on your priorities. So if you, you know, if that's something that's really important to you, then you can find it, be creative and make the time. I mean, certainly, I guess, you know, for me, it's been some of the things that's made it easier is I'm a school teacher. So having summers off definitely allows for more time, sort of balance between family and backpacking. So I guess, you know, your career, your job can lend itself or make it more challenging, depends on the career. And certainly being, you know, open and honest with your partner, just say, you know, this might not, you know, this is really important to me and this is something I want to do. It doesn't mean I don't care about my life here at home, but, and so I think having that kind of open and honest relationship with your partner and then, you know, staying in shape. So when you get the opportunity, you know, having your equipment, I think just sort of those little things so you can take the opportunity when it presents itself. You'd hate to like have this chance to go on a trip and you're not in good shape or you're not healthy or ready or injured or something like that.
Yeah, that's great advice. You know, I mean, if you're not in shape, you're never going to pull it off, right?
Right, right.
Or it's at least it's not as easy. It's not that you can't do it, but you know, it's going to be harder. But you did touch on a topic I really wanted to focus on in this entire podcast, and that is hiking and camping with kids. And first off, you brought up a point which I think is relevant, right? Be open and honest about what you want, but it's not like you can't go with your spouse or you can't take your kids with you, and people do it all the time.
For sure.
So that would certainly be another way to approach it, although maybe a little tougher on a six-month trip, but certainly on a two-week, a two-week would be very manageable. But I did notice that in your writings, and I know you do a lot of writing, that you had a lot of articles on hiking and camping with kids. I was really looking forward to talking about that because we haven't had a subject in the podcast about that. And as someone that has raised kids myself and taken them out in the outdoors many times, I really look forward to this discussion. So let me start with the simple question, and this is, I think, an article you may have written, but what suggestions do you have for raising an outdoor kid?
I think the biggest thing is you got to go outdoors. You got to take them outdoors right from the start. I mean, at my I knew it was really important to me that my kids would hopefully be into or at least somewhat into the outdoors and nature and exploring and hiking as I – you know, that was certainly a hope I had going into fatherhood. And so, yeah, we, you know, my wife too, you know, we just took them outside as much as possible. And I really wanted to introduce them and have them feel comfortable with the outdoors. So I think part of it is, you know, going places and remembering that when you're out there, that what might not be a big deal to you as far as what's interesting and amazing could certainly be a big deal to them. So, you know, catching a frog, you know, catching a worm, pill, but you know, just every little thing that you might be kind of, so you got to just realize that to them, that's the most amazing thing. So I think sharing their wonder and introducing them to it all, that, you know, really might, and kind of going on their agenda, you know, if they wanted to stop and throw rocks in the stream for 20 minutes, but you really want to kind of finish the, you know, make the loop around the pond, you know, I would choose to sit there and throw rocks for 20 minutes.
and I guarantee you, they're going to want to throw rocks in the pond.
Right. Oh, I know. That's big, you know, big. You know, if they want to play with the leaves, you know, and whatever it is, I think it's, especially when they're younger, just got to go at their pace. Like if you're not really going so you can take a hike, you know, you're going so they can spend their time, you know, out there. And then sometimes they get it in their mind, but, you know, looking, you know, I was very, you know, roll over logs, look under logs, find small creatures, you know, get muddy, get wet, like have, you know, those, I think that's, you know, those are sort of general things, is how I hope to do it. And then, you know, at home, we, filled the house with, you know, book, you know, picture books, you know, related to hiking and, you know, just nature in general. I know I brought, you know, I would tend to be happy to buy them, you know, plastic animal toy, you know, whatever, like things that is, you know, the even t-shirts, like, oh, here's a good t-shirt, you know, just try to, you know, surround them with nature inside and out.
Yeah, those little bug magnifying glasses are always, like, that's fascinating for a kid. Yeah. How were you able to get them kind of fired up before they went out, though, right? I've got some ideas myself, but, you know, obviously you got to pre-sell the trip before you take them for the first time, whether it's camping, hiking, or backpacking. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, well, we started off pretty young, so I think for a little bit that's just kind of what we did. And I don't know, you know, they just thought, yeah, this is what we do with dad sometimes. But, you know, in the beginning, the first few trips especially, you know, I would certainly sort of prep them and read stories, and we'd talk about what kind of food we could have, and there's certainly treats that we would have backpacking. You know, we talk about where we're going to go and what we might see, and get them kind of hyped up on, you know, we're going to catch frog. I mean, I usually would play, especially in the beginning, you know, I would pick places to go that was, you know, a reasonable distance to a pond or a lake. And then, you know, we could just sort of set up a campsite for, you know, two, 3 nights, whatever it was, and then just hang out, explore, day hike from there. And it was always a place where there would be a lot to do, whether it was throwing rocks in the water, catching frogs, building rafts. That, you know, we didn't always cover that many miles. It was always more about just the time that we were out there.
Yeah, I agree on two statements there. One, you got to give them something, right? You got to give them something to go to, a waterfall, swimming hole, a cool view where they're looking out over a big ravine where they won't fall off. And then you can't hike them too far. I definitely agree with those statements. I think my son started when he was 5, which gets me to a question for you. You have 2 boys, is that right?
Yeah.
And they started at what age?
Well, the older one, it was like 2 years old, a friend of mine, and I took him. Well, the same friend, the same friend, whose name happens to be Steve, actually. He came with, you know, the first couple of times I didn't want to be the only adult, you know, just, you know, God forbid something happened to me. I don't think my 2-year-old would do so well. So the first couple of times we went, Steve came with, and so he was 2. And then when Scott came along, my second son, I guess he was probably, you know, 2 or 3 when he did the first I mean, we did some car camping first. I mean, that's another good way to kind of introduce to do some car camping. But I would say Scott was probably, you know, 2 or 3 when he went on his first backpacking trip with us.
Yeah, I agree with the car camping strategy, because my wife and I, we took our kids when they were, my daughter was super young. She was still in a pack and play for sure.
Yeah.
But you can definitely do it, especially the car camping. If you got facilities nearby with bathrooms and everything, it's a great way to introduce your kids to the outdoors. And man, I mean, I know you will share the joy in watching a kid in a tent for the first time. I mean, the kids just eat the tent up, right? I mean, they love every aspect of pitching it, of getting inside it, and the campfire. I agree.
Campfires are a great attraction. Not maybe not when they're 2 or 3, but you know, that's when they're a little bit older, like, it's in hours, just adjusting the fire, starting the fire, adding to the fire, collecting wood. Yeah. That, and those simple things, right, that you might, and the tent. Yeah. We even would sometimes set up in the backyard, just go play, you know, the tent. They love the coziness, the home, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I guess you can sort of, you know, especially for someone super young, like the, you know, the 2 to 5 year old age, right? You can let them take a stuffed animal, you can get a big fluffy pillow, you know, you don't have that advantage when you start getting in the backcountry. Which brings me to my next question. Were they hiking at that early of an age? Like, when did you start taking them backpacking too?
Well, those are backpacking trips, but we didn't go, you know, the first, you know, I don't know, till a certain age, like, yeah, we would hike in maybe 2 miles tops to a lean-to. There's a lot, it's nice up here in the Northeast. You know, there's a lot of lean-tos. So we would have a tent for the night, you know, like the cozy of the tent, but a lean-to is a nice shelter where you could kind of spread out. If it was raining really hard, you know, you could hang out in there. So we would just get to a lean-to and, you know, I would just carry, I wanted them to be happy. So, you know, I was carrying a lot of, I always over carried, you know, toys or, I mean, there was always their true loveys. You had to bring those, but other stuff. And just because I wanted to make sure they're, you know, happy, even though 99% of the time they would just find stuff to do there. They didn't need anything that I, all that extra, but you know, I wanted to have the food they like. And so we weren't really going too lightweight, but slowly, you know, they could start to carry more. I didn't carry as much. But yeah, I think it's important to bring some of comfort, some of the comforts from home.
Yeah. And I also want to throw in there too. I mean, when they get a little older, when I say a little older, 5, 6, 7, I mean, I usually let my son take just a real small little school backpack or smaller.
Yeah.
Just so they felt like they were contributing, which, made them feel important and, you know, gave them the sort of essence of backpacking. Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely.
So, curious to ask you too, Dan, like just about, in your opinion, just some mistakes that parents may make the first time they take their kids out. And, you know, you can speak to car camping, you can speak to hiking or backpacking, maybe all three would be, you know, good to cover.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely a mistake that is made, and I, you know, it's just trying to go too far, too fast, you know, that you, in my mind, I had a place I wanted to get you know, not willing to stop, you know, like, let's just get there. Meanwhile, you know, there's this cool salamander on the side of the trail. Why don't we stop? You know, why aren't we stopping here?
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, I think just going too fast, too far. You know, you got to be careful not to forget important items. You know, one of our early trips, you know, I'll admit I forgot the diapers in the car. At that point though, it was just at night, but you know, it actually ended up being okay because he made it through the first, like it was a good transition, but
yeah,
you know, you just got to make sure, you know, you're remembering everything because you don't want to leave something behind. And I've done that, you know, I've done that on my own stuff, you know, so you got to make sure you're not leaving anything behind. And it is, you know, just respecting, you know, their, you know, what they want to do. I guess that kind of goes along with don't go too far too fast. But I think that, you know, if you, they're a partner in all this, even if, you know, even at a young age, you know, they're still, you know, you're got to work together.
Yeah. And I did spend some time working with the scouts, right? I mean, if you don't let your kids have fun, then you've missed the whole point of being out there.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
yeah.
I've definitely been around some of the leaders that are super disciplinarian and authoritarian, and you know, they don't let the kids have fun. That's probably one of the biggest mistakes you can make. You got to let the kids be kids, and I think you basically said that. But
and then, another thing I would add, is, you know, it's worth, you know, you want them to have the right gear for their age. You know, no one's had, you know, miserable if they're getting, I mean, they're going to get, you know, they're going to get wet and muddy and that thing's going to happen. But, you know, I've seen families on the trail and the kid, you know, it's pouring out and they're wearing jeans and cotton t-shirt and they're just like miserable. It's like, you know, so I think you want to, you know, good rain gear, good boots. So, you know, there can be comfortable.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's, you know, just cause you're willing to be cold and miserable because you love it so much. They might not be quite like that.
Yeah, no different for them. You know, I think the other mistake I've seen too, Dan, and I'm sure you'd agree, is just, you know, sometimes you got to give kids responsibility too, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to give them activities, responsibility. You can't, they want to feel like they're a part, I guess, of the whole experience, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's probably more true as kids get older, certainly as kids get into teenage years, but just wanted to call that out. Did you do a lot of day hiking with your boys before you started backpacking with them?
Well, not, I would say really before we started backpacking, but you know, we would do some day hikes. You know, we kind of had our little, you know, short preserve hikes, you know, like right where we live, you know, nearby, there's a lot of little preserves that, you know, we go to, you know, an hour or two, you know, on the weekend. And then we would often go when we had a whole day, but not overnight. There's a Bear Mountain State Park is
nice,
a little
yeah.
bit, Yeah.
Appalachian and, Trail.
The Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
So we would, you know, that was sort of our day hike range. We'd go, you know, usually like one or, you know, a couple times a year, two, three times a year. You know, we'd go there for the day when they were younger.
Did you take them through the zoo? Did they get to see the bears?
Yeah,
the
we
zoo?
Went to the zoo once. We did go to the zoo once.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, that, you know, then that, well, that's, I mean, we'll touch it. I mean, it gets, that's where it gets a little bit different. You know, then they go through another age, you know, where now they're starting to get involved in with other activities on the weekends. And, you know, that's where you have to be, you know, also creative about, might not have time for a whole overnight backpacking trip, but, you know, let's go from, let's wake up really early and come back late, at least for the day.
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, it's almost easier taking kids out when they're really young because once they get into the teenage years, they're doing stuff every weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you have control of that, but it's, you know, somewhat true. Hey, so to get back to, I kind of hit on this earlier, but I'm curious to ask you, you know, before you would take a child out for the first time, and you've got some good articles that I saw on your site about this, but what recommendations do you have before you go?
Well, certainly have some smaller experiences, you know, spend some time day hiking or not even day, a whole day, or, you know, just make sure they've been outdoors, they've gotten muddy, they've gotten, you know, they've had experiences. So I think just whether, you know, in your neighborhood and, you know, look, you know, find out what some of the local places are you can go to and just, you know, spending time, might want to set up the tent in the backyard and have a camp out in the backyard. You know, help, they can be, depending on the age, like, you know, what would be some of your favorite foods, and let's, you know, let's make a recipe or a plan of what we're going to bring, and who's going to, you know, if they have some favorite toys, you know, who's going to, you know, just sort of keep them talking about what'll be, you know, talking it up, have them involved in the fun part of the planning, and yeah, making sure that, I suppose, I know, I don't think we ever, you know, consciously did this because we, you know, I just had my kids out from so early, but I suppose, you know, that they're comfortable, you know, peeing in the woods, taking care of business. That might, you know, that wasn't like a conscious decision, I think, for us, because we would say we started from the so early.
Yeah, number two is even trickier, right? Like, no, number one's pretty easy, but number two
that's
a little bit more intimidating for a kid, for sure.
And I mean, and this would probably, you know, at any, certainly as they get a little older, I mean, doing it with a friend, that I think can be, you know, that's definitely can be a plus. You know, if there's another, you know, friend of the family that they have kids, your kids' age, you know, doing it together. You know, I think if they don't have it, you know, that can be an attraction, someone to play with.
Yeah. It's, I think it's critical as the kids get older, especially.
Yeah. Once
they hit their teenage years, you got to have a friend with them. I will tell you, and this is true for both my kids, but, you know, I let them pitch the tent in the house before we went out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I let them pack their own backpack. You know, we did some guidance on the snacks, but I let them pick out all their own snacks. You know, there's other fun stuff that kids just get really excited about, like taking a fishing pole or binoculars or a cool flashlight that has some, you know, admittedly annoying strobe lights or red lights on them. But, you know, my kids love this skunk card game, which you can find at REI, that is really fun too. But, you know, I think you got to make it fun for a kid, because the reality is, if you don't, man, they're not going to go back.
Right.
So,
and now, I mean, you got to consider the, you know, where your, what your comfort level is with technology, you know, it would be really, you know, be different now, but even as my kids got older and, you know, they were, the ability to watch a movie while you're backpacking became possible, you know, that, you know, you sort of have to decide how you feel about that. Cause now, especially I can't, you know, if you had really, you know, young children, you know, what are you comfortable with? So that, you know, it's not necessarily one thing right or wrong or bad or worse, but it's, you know, in some ways it's an opportunity to get away from all of that. But, you know, there's also something kind of cool about cuddling up in the tent, watching a really cool movie with your kids.
Yeah. You know? Well,
it's not inherently wrong to do that. And, so it's something, you know, something to consider.
Yeah. What, I mean, whatever gets them out there, I guess. What about teenage kids? Cause I think, You were hitting on the topic of electronics, which I think is super relevant, especially with teenagers and the way they're attached to their phones these days. I mean, what do you do to? I'm just thinking of my own teenage kids, right? You know, they get so distracted with school and their activities to keep them going out. So you kind of get the kid involved as a younger, you know, maybe 5 to 12 year old, but how do you keep them going out? I guess that would be the question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, they're so into it. They just want to keep going. That's the dream. You know, I think for my guys, you know, some of it was a little bit of, this is what we do. You know, at some point in the summer, we're going to go backpacking. And I think, you know, at some point they would have said no if they really didn't like it. So there's sort of, that's part of our routine of our family. You know, I think the challenge, you know, we also started to like think a little bit bigger. We went out west, you know, we said, let's do something a little more, you know, had a little more of that backcountry spectacular view challenge, you know, physical challenge, you know, that was more, became more of a motivation. You know, it was nice having two, you know, I have two boys, they're, you know, basically two and a half years apart. So that was sort of a built-in friend to always go with, that you could both annoying and great. So that, I think that helped keep, you know,
yeah,
they would entertain each other as also complain about each other.
Yeah. That's gonna happen. They're teenagers. Yeah. It's gonna happen.
You know, and we had to have, you know, some kid, I don't, you know, did let them, you know, eventually I did let them know we could, you know, bring an electronic device so we could watch a movie. You know, I limited it, and you're sort of at night in the tent. Some ways, you know, okay, you could read a story, look at a book, watch a movie. You know, it's kind of felt that was okay. And sometimes, you know, try to work it out where a friend, you know, we didn't really, my friend Steve, his son, he, you know, we would backpack a lot together, but then as everybody got older, we didn't do so much of that. So they didn't really, we did some day hikes with some of their friends, but unfortunately we didn't really have another family friend that really wanted to backpack. But I guess it was definitely more adventurous when they got older. But it was a little harder, as you know, you did have to get into the, like, I would, you know, do they really want to go anymore? You know, do they rather be with their friend? You know, it's a different balancing act.
Yeah. What do they say with boys, right? It's the fumes. It's the perfumes and the car fumes. They start getting distracted when they get a certain age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, one thing that I noticed when the kids started getting older and went on trips, they just want responsibility. You know, they want to put the tent up by themselves. They want to cook dinner by themselves. They want to they want to take control, right? So by doing that, it seemed to you know, keep at least my kids engaged and keep them going out. And I've got a boy and a girl, so that has helped me. But and then also just giving them the opportunity to kind of plan the trip, you know, buy the food, cook the meals, give them some ownership. I think that goes a long way too. But you know, just a couple ideas for listeners out there that may have a teenager that is getting distracted by the millions of things that happen in junior high and high school. But
I think sometimes whether they realized it or not, I think when we would go out on something, it was a great opportunity to like not be in high, you know, not have to, you know, for at least a few days, you know, you didn't have to think about all that pressure of school and do it. You know, you could kind of be a, even when you're 15, like, oh, you know what? I can be a little silly now because my peers aren't here. So, I used to love catching frogs, and it's okay because, you know, I could do that again. And I think there was a little bit of relief of being able to kind of be themselves.
Yeah.
When we were out there, like, you know, it's okay to do the things that you used to do, even though you might not do them as much at home.
Yeah. You know, I guess we kind of touched on this too. I mean, and this is going to backtrack a little bit, but, so, I mean, if you had your kids out of two, you obviously went backpacking with them when they were in diapers. Any suggestions just for camping with a baby or backpacking with a baby for a very, very young child, whether it's, you know, in a campground with facilities or actually going into the backcountry?
Well, I definitely say you'd want to have another adult, you know, if it wasn't your spouse, your partner, to have a friend. I don't think you'd want to, you know, just for safety reasons and just something happened. So I made sure that whenever, you know, that the first few, until I would say we always went with somebody, was my, well, mainly my friend Steve. And even when, you know, one time I hired a guide and it was pretty, the guy was kind of funny. I'm like, I just kept saying, like, I just need another adult. You know, I backpacked a ton. I don't really need a guide, you know, but I just want another adult here. My friend Steve can't go. And so at first he was like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I don't know. I just need you to be there.
Somebody to get your back, basically.
In case something. But then he's like, well, you know what? I can, you know, then he started saying, well, here's all the things that I can offer. We can do. I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, that would be fun. So we did all these cool canoe things and
awesome.
And other stuff. So, you know, it's not, you know, guides aren't cheap, but it isn't. That's another thing. I think, you know, if you want to do some backpacking, maybe you don't have as much, you know, maybe you're not as comfortable or you don't have someone else to go with, you know, I would say that is definitely, and you know, they might have equipment and knowledge that you don't have that allows you to do something really, you know, different that you might not otherwise do. So that was good experience.
Yeah, I think guides also kind of, you know, it brings something else to the equation for the young kid, right? You know, somebody else for them to kind of look up to,
yeah, and
listen,
yeah,
to. It's not their
definitely.
Parents that they may listen to more.
Yeah.
I will say if you've got a baby, the wet wipes and Ziploc bags are probably your best asset in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyone that has a very young child, too, if you've ever seen the kid backpacks that they sell all over the place, but you know, you can put your child in a little backpack, carry your kid on your back or even on your front. But I guarantee your child will fall asleep in like 15 minutes after they play with your sunglasses and pull your hair and everything else. But that's an option as well.
Yeah, there's a lot more. I mean, I don't shop for it anymore, but I just see in the various catalogs, you know, the equipment they have now for backpacking with kids is definitely, there's a lot more, you know, child size sleeping bags, you know, these, you know, there's tents that have like lights in the poles, you know, there's just definitely more gear that's gear oriented towards, you know, families going with young children.
Yeah. To our 80s conversation, things have definitely worked in the favor of the outdoor person, if you're willing to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So here's another question for you. I know you've been on trips before, and this is going to shift to the front country, although it could technically apply to the back country, right? And that is where you're in a campsite, and you've got really, really annoying neighbors next to you, probably more likely in a campground, like a state park or somewhere like that. Although I think the state parks do a pretty good job of trying to keep that under control. But any suggestions on how you can be a good camper? So let's say you have two kids, maybe more. They're very young. They're excited. They're running around. You know, how do you keep them from driving the people next to you nuts?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you want to – I think most people see kids outdoors are pretty happy about that. So I don't think yeah, I mean, I haven't run into that too much, just kind of keep them busy. Though, once we were backpacking, I guess my kids were a little loud in the morning. I didn't think so, because when we got on, when we signed out of the register, someone had written something like, you know, keep your kids quiet or something like that. So I guess you do have to be in the mornings, you know, more likely to be up the nearby camper. So just, you know, keep in mind that, you know, general courtesy, like, you know, we're just, because you're up doesn't mean everybody else wants to be up. But
yeah, agreed.
I think it
depends on the campground too, right? Some sites are on top of each other. Some are spread out.
I definitely, when in picking campsites and when we were going to date, when we were car camping, you know, I was looking for the remotest campsites at the car camping place as possible, you know, partly because I wanted to be away from people, and also so that, you know, if they're running around or doing things, they're not going to bother anybody.
Yeah, and I can tell you from having gone through the scouting organization, right? Like, we always tried to keep the number of kids that we had to a reasonable size, which is a big step. And then if we had a big group, we would get a group or pioneer campsite, which a lot of state parks have, at least in the South. So you could book a site that was away from everybody, that, you know, you were all on your own. Or we just we would take the group out and run them ragged, you know, take them on a long 3-4 mile hike. And so when they got back to the campsite, they were so damn tired that they they went straight to bed. So, you know, those are some ideas if you're trying to think through how to manage that. But so let's talk about safety, because I think I saw one of your articles dealt with kids' safety. And you can probably apply this to front country or back country, but what thoughts do you have there?
Well, Jeff, you know, safety's no one wants to get hurt, and you certainly want to you know, that's a great way to ruin a trip for everybody, and they've also a great way to they might not want to go back. So you gotta keep that in mind. You know, certainly helps to take some level of first aid, so you've got some preparedness, and make sure you have your first aid kit with some, you know, good the basics in there, and know how to use it. You know, the kids, you know, depending on the age, I always just like wanted them to know where the first aid kit was located in the backpack, in case, you know, I wasn't able to help them with that. I mean, that's, you know, at this point, you know, I bring a satellite phone if I'm going for more than 2 nights. So, I mean, if I was going with the kids at this point, you know, or even towards the end, you know, when they, you know, we had a satellite phone, and I always show them how to use that. And I guess trust, I mean, there's, I always had this, you know, when they got to the edge of something or they were doing something, I would just feel it in my, I would feel a physical feeling in my stomach. They're like, wait, and just to listen to that. And not,
those are parental instincts.
Right. And there's, you know, there's enough fun to be had without doing something dangerous. You know, I think that, you know, in the end, you know, for climbing, it's, you know, we were climbing, we did one 14,000 footer in Colorado, and it was getting, you know, towards the top, you know, the young Scott was definitely, and, you know, as much as we want to get to the top, no one's going to really care, did we get to the top, not get to the top, you know, we end up getting to the topper, but, you know, you just got to keep that in mind. There's, you know, you want to come back, and, you know, it's, you got to definitely, it's important.
Yeah.
Can't get careless, with the fire, you know, it's great for kids, I think, to play in the fire, but, you know, learn about campfires and they can be involved, you know, or whittling with a knife. That was a big popular thing for a few trips.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you know, those are,
that whittling with a knife, you definitely got to stay on. You got to manage that. Like, you know, like nobody's business, but I will tell you, I mean, I think the biggest dangers for kids actually are falling or drowning, just like they are for most people in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Or just getting lost, probably, for somebody that's really young.
Yeah, so, we talked about that, you know, that, you know, if you ever got separated, you just, you know, hug a tree, just stay in one spot, hold that tree, and someone will find you. You know, so we did talk about that when they were younger, that, you know, if you stay in one spot and that, you know, there will be people searching for you. And even if it's someone you don't know, if they're, you know, sort of an official person with, you know, that's different than, you know, so, you know, fortunately, we never had, you know, a couple scratches here and there, but no serious injuries in my guys.
Yeah. We had a system in Scouts with the buddy system, right? So they all had a buddy. They couldn't do anything without their buddy. So, that's one way to kind of approach it too. But now your kids, Dan, they're growing up, right? So are they college age now or past?
No, they're out of college.
Oh, wow. Man, it goes.
Well, one's in law school, so I guess he's sort of in college.
It goes quickly, huh?
Yes, it does.
Faster than you would ever believe, I'm sure.
It's a cliche, but it's true.
I mean, are you able to get them out on backpacking trips now?
Yeah, and yes, actually, the older one, no, we haven't gone since he went to college, and that's, you know, and that's fine. The younger one, actually, this summer, you know, he was stuck in the house because all his plans didn't come to fruition. So he was living with us this summer, and I was like, hey, you want to go backpacking? I was just kind of saying it just because I was going. I was like, you know, maybe he wants to go. And he said, sure, I'll go. So we had a night out, and that was great. I'm going to push it for, you know, next year. I turn 60. I think they should, you know, the young one, I think young one's kind of injured. He'll go. I'll have to push the older one a little bit. It's been a while since we've gone on any kind of big trip.
Yeah, I mean, how is it different now that your kids are grown up when they go on a trip with you? I'm just curious because it changes. Kids grow so quickly, and the experience that you have with them in the wilderness changes, right? As they change. So, what's it like going with a college age or older child or kid? I mean, well, they're a young adult. They're not even a kid anymore.
Right. Right. Well, you know, he's. I mean, unfortunately, we only went for about 24 hours.
Oh, time. Well, you still got him out, though.
We still got out there, and it was, you know, it was great. I mean, it was nice. It was nice for all the same reasons it's always been nice. That
yeah, man.
The pace slows down. You know, you're not. You're if you're doing some kind of even in that shortened version, you know, if you're. You know, you walk until you feel like you don't want to walk, or you know, you're playing some. You know, it was like great when they were younger. Like you just, you know, you could do things until they didn't want to do them anymore, and you didn't have to always. All right, let's stop. Now we got to do this. Like you know, at home you might say, all right, can't stop. You know, stop doing this. We got to go do this. Got to do that. You know, just that pace slowed down, and you know, just walking down the trail, listening to them talk. Yeah, I could do that for miles. You know, just whatever he happens to be on his mind, and he's talking about it, and. Catching up a little bit because don't get to see him as often. So, and hopefully next summer he'll want to do something else. Maybe this fall.
Yeah, it's a good time with the family there. So here's a tough one, and I thought about this when I was kind of proposing the question to you. Do you have a favorite memory? And that's really a hard question, right?
Can I have more than one favorite, or is it I gotta pick one?
You know what? Go for it. You know, share them all if you want.
Well, I guess. You know, as far as, you know, being with them and I guess the one was, you know, well, more than one. But anyway, when they were, you know, 9 or 10, maybe, we climbed Mount Marcy, which is the highest peak in New York. And that became quite an adventure because the bears stole our food this first night out. So I was devastated. I thought we're going to have to pack, you know, camp out, you know, hike back out. The trip's over, you know, so we kind of sorted through what food was there. It was, you know, I thought, all right, you know, there's enough for them. I could be hungry. We'll make it, you know? So we continue on the trip, even though we had very little food, you know, some people nearby, you know, gave us some food, you know, cause they were hiking out and they saw what happened. And my older son's like, wow, people are so nice out here. I'm like, oh, that's exactly it. But you know, we ended up climbing the mountain. And that was like, you know, yeah, just these, you know, little guys, and we climb, you know, climb Mount Marcy. So that was really cool. That was a great day. When they were older, I'd have to say one of the, like, you know, might be a top 10 day is we went to, I love, you know, Canyonland, Southern, you know, Southeastern Utah. So we had gone out there once before, my boys and I, and that trip, you know, got cut short. So now we were come back out. They're in eighth grade, Zach's in eighth grade. And so I got this whole great trip planned. We're redoing the, you know, we're going, it's going to be this great trip. But then some of his middle school best friends are there with their families are also coming out. And I have to say, selfishly, I didn't want to hang out with their family. I wanted to go backpacking, but these guys were going to like a hotel spa kind of place.
Yeah.
You know, terrible. So I'm trying to figure this out, but I know my, you know, Zach wants to be with his friends and I want to, you know, what am I going to do? So I actually arrange it that the boys and I, my family, we're going to go backpacking, but we're going to meet up with these two other families in the canyon to do some canyoneering. So like I found a guide and I make all these arrangements. And so like the second, you know, the third day in, my boys and I, we meet up with these two other families in this canyon in Arches National Park, and then the guide comes in from another spot to do this day of canyoneering. Yeah, it was just such an adventure, such a cool day, so much fun. They got to be with their friends doing this amazing thing. You know, when the day was over, you know, Zach, Scott, and I, we just went back to our tent. They went back to their hotel. That was so cool. We just like split off on the trail.
Wow.
They were going out, we were going to the hotel. And then Zach was so you know, even, you know, that night, you know, Zach was just so pumped up about the whole thing. So that was just like this great blending of him being able to be with his friends, but also we were able to be in the backcountry. And then I guess, yeah, then we did climb one 14,000 footer in Colorado, and that was, you know, a spectacular trip just to, you know, we took 4 days to do it, took our time, but, you know, just to be up there, and that was amazing.
You know, our interview got delayed because I just got back from Colorado on the Colorado Trail. So definitely respect that. That's awesome.
Well, it is pretty cool that my young Scott, the one that I did camping with this summer, he and some high school buddies are doing an Airbnb in Colorado. I think it's in Silverthorne. So he's been doing lots of hiking, climbing some mountains, saw a moose yesterday.
Awesome.
So he's getting out there.
It'd be the time of the year for it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could give you one on my own son, I think it was the first time I took him out. He was 5 on a backpacking trip. It was really cold. It was right before Christmas, which believe it or not, in North Georgia, it can be really cold. It can snow. I mean, I think it was below 32 for sure. And we had a large tree that fell across the forest road. We had to get somebody had like a little small hand axe, and I had a Sven saw, and we were able to cut through it. But that will stick in my mind for eternity. And
there's so many good experiences, many good memories.
And I will cherish for sure all the moments I've had with both my kids out in the wilderness. What do you miss? I mean, now your kids are grown. What do you miss most about hiking with them?
Well, I miss the time. I mean, the time with them, and the time where, you know, now a lot of times, you catch up with you're just sort of catching up with, all right, what'd you do? You know, what have you done the past couple of days? What have you done this week? What about, you know, just that kind of catch up talk. You're not into just like talking so I miss that. I miss the pace, you know, where you, when they were little, you know, let's say they're playing in the sand and they would just play in the sand until they didn't want to play in the sand. Then they would go, you know, climb a tree and then climb, you know, it wasn't just that sort of freedom of activity and movement. And, you know, it was great to see them have some freedom, you know, that they didn't always have. It's fun to just eat junk food sometimes because you're out backpacking.
Oh, man, you earned it.
I just keep coming back to it. Just the pace of time that there wasn't as many have to's. And you know, also just seeing beautiful, beautiful things and having someone to share it with.
Yeah, that's a great point, too.
Look at that. And just be so excited about it. They'd be so excited about it. That, you know, that look in their eyes when they caught a snake or when they, saw something that just caught, you know, that intrigued them, and then sort of sharing that with them. I miss all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear you getting me worked up here. I miss the constant energy. The constant just running around, the wanderment, you know, they're so amazed by everything. And just their enthusiasm about a hot chocolate or a s'more around a campfire.
And
those are gone for me too. My kids are both in the teenage years now. But anyone listening, Dan and I both are telling you, man, grab these years while you got them, because they're going to go quickly and you'll think about them the rest of your life. What do you think your kids miss most about these years, like with you? I mean, have you ever talked to them about that?
Yeah, that I have thought about asking that. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to want the answer to that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, the younger one's a little more outdoor oriented still. The older one, you know, he's more. But though he's not. In the I guess obvious way to outdoors, though, he's planning on doing a lot of skiing this winter. So you know, who knows what that'll lead to him. I don't know. I have to ask him. I think that I'll have to go and ask them, like, what are their memories and what do they think of it, and how much of it was just, oh, this is what Dad wants to do.
Yeah, maybe that doesn't come back to you till they're in their 30s, right? Like, Dad, you remember when, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that could be. So, I mean, how is it different when you go out with a friend or, you know, and you're not with your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I can definitely give you some comments there myself, but, I guess that's pretty much how it is for you now, right? Because your kids are doing their own thing, but.
Yeah. Well, it's good in a different way. I mean, there's never been a bad backpacking trip, and, you know, there's no one way to backpack. So, I mean, in some way, you know, love going with my kids, there is always that little element of pressure, like that they were enjoying themselves, that they weren't getting hurt. You know, you were sort of in charge of them and to keep track of them. So, you know, that was a little bit of pressure. When I'm going with my friends, you know, they can take care of themselves. So it's a little more, you know, in a way it's more relaxing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a very accurate statement.
And and the guys that I, you know, backpack with, we've been backpacking, you know, like I said, that guy Steve and his other friend John, you know, we just know our routine so much. We know that we talk about all our kids though and all the past backpacking trips. So we relive them in a way. We reminisce about our past adventures with our children.
Also, I'll spend the rest of my life doing that. I can tell you that.
It's different, but it's just good in a different way.
It's just different. I totally agree. I know what you're saying. Believe me, I gotcha. What resources can you suggest for parents maybe taking their kids out on a trip for the first time? Camping, backpacking. When I mean resources, like I'm really talking about websites, books.
Yeah.
Groups, you know, those sort of things.
Well, there's a lot of information.
Other than, of course, your numerous articles, which we're going to talk about in a second.
Right. Because I wouldn't say that I have because I haven't really looked for my own kids so much, but I know that, you know, almost everywhere you turn, I mean, there's podcasts now about hiking with children. There's, you know, certainly, you know, there's resources at REI, you know, I guess as far as equipment, and there's all this great gear these days, but, you know, if you have a local hiking club, like, wherever you are, you know, Sierra Club or the Appalachian Mountain Club, I mean, I think, you know, I think that'd be a great place to start because there's, you know, they're a nonprofit, you know, you're just kind of getting that there's unbiased information. That's where I would start. But certainly, you know, every city these days has a local hiking club, and, you know, obviously you can just go on the internet and find a ton of stuff. But I would look for like a local hiking club and get, you know, kind of get going from there.
Before I give you a chance to pitch all your own articles, I just want to call out a few other organizations. So obviously we talked about the Scouts, the YMCA has the Indian Guides, REI, as you mentioned, has a ton of resources. And I got to give a little promo to Mountaineer Books, who is the publisher of my personal book, Hiking and Backpacking in Georgia and South Carolina. But they've got a whole series on hiking with kids and children. So, as you said, lots of good resources. Yeah. But let's get to you, because you've got a lot of good articles here. What's your most popular?
Well, I guess I'm not sure. I guess, yeah, I'm not sure which is the most popular. I guess I have to, I think I've gotten as far as, I guess, over the years, I wrote a couple of books about teaching kids about the environment and teaching kids about environmental issues. So, you know, I guess those would be the most popular as far as, you know, as far as sales that are just even, you know, people, I guess those. You know, I do have a website, DanKreisberg.com, Witness to the Wild, and there I have my essay, you know, some essays about my experiences outdoors and my experience with my kids. There's also some articles about like games you can play on the trail, things you can do, you know, article about things you can do in your backyard to make it more of a play area for kids, that a play area not in a traditional way, but in the get dirty and grubby and find creatures, that kind of a play area. So there's some ideas for that.
People can certainly
check that out.
What's the Wild Moose Chase all about? I like that title. That sounded interesting.
It was about these two boys are going out and they really want to see a moose, and they're, you know, crashing around in the woods and bashing, you know, and making all this noise and kind of, and, don't find the moose. And then finally they're just exhausted and they're tired and they just sit. They just stop and sit. And while they're just sitting and resting, you know, the moose appears. So they realize that it's better to just sit and watch as opposed to just bashing, crashing around.
That's kind of how it works. That's reality,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
I like
sure.
that. That's a good lesson.
Yeah.
What's your personal favorite? I know you've written a lot.
Well, I guess book-wise would be The Wild Moose Chase. As far as, you know, what...
What about article?
Yeah. It's hard to get, like, once I'm trying to think. I usually, when the people ask questions like this, I just go, what was the first one to leap to mind? But I guess the one, you know, I wrote one about when the boys and I climbed Mount Marcy. And that, I guess that would have, you know, that summed up a lot of what my hope is, you know, that, you know, I don't know, maybe other, you know, fathers might hope that their kids become, you know, lawyers and doctors, and I hope my kids do stuff like that, but I was hoping my kids wanted a backpack, and so it's sort of that goes into the essay, and you know, what the whole adventure of how we, you know, lost our food, but we, you know, made it through. So I guess that'd be my favorite.
Yeah, I know you wrote some columns for some, you know, I guess newspapers, right? And Nature Ranger, Nature Dag, can you talk about those?
Yeah, I mean, that was a while ago, but the Newsday is the newspaper here on Long Island, and they had a Nature Dag, they had a series for a while about nature on Long Island, and I was Nature Dag, so I wrote, you know, a column for that about different activities and ways that parents could, you know, get their kids interested in nature. But unfortunately those are, I don't know what happened to those on the web. They're inaccessible in some place of Newsday. So I wish people could see them.
Yeah. It's kind of cool though. But I also saw that you wrote for, you know, I am a subscriber to Backpacker Magazine. I have been for God knows how long, probably 30 years. I saw you were in Weekend Wilderness. That was pretty cool. You had like a Canada trip there, right?
Yeah, well, way back I went to Algonquin Provincial Park in southern Ontario, and that was amazing. Yeah, it felt like back in the explorer days. That was a great trip, and so I wrote a little article about that.
Yeah, we've actually got a cabin up in that area that I go fishing every year, and it crushed me. We couldn't go this year, but anyway, it is what it is. It's now surrounded by Indian land.
Oh, but, cool. Yeah, I'd love to go back there.
It's beautiful country, I guess, is what I'm saying. I completely understand why you wrote that article. So you plugged your website a little bit. Do you have any social media that people can follow you on?
I probably should. No, I don't. I probably should work on that. But no, I don't have. I don't. Go to my website.
Okay. All right. And say that one more time just for the listeners.
DanKreisberg.com.
Okay.
And it's Witness to the Wild.
Witness to the Wild. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
So before we close out here, you know, you've been doing this for a long time like I have. So I got to ask you your most favorite place to hike or backpack. Does not have to be in the United States. Can be anywhere. But if you don't choose U.S., then give us an international in U.S.
Yeah, no, it'd be the United States. I guess would be southeastern Utah, somewhere in the canyons, and the Sierras. But those two places. I'm thinking the Cascades would be up on the list. I just have to get there.
So you're going west, okay?
Yeah. No, I would say the west. Yeah.
All right.
I'm
two totally different western climates. I just want to call out, which is interesting. No, I like that.
I like how New York State's got incredible places, but I just, there's something about the West.
Agreed. I totally agree. So if you had to pick the state where you had your most ultimate backcountry experience, would it be Utah or California? Or I'm not going to.
Or Colorado.
Yeah, I don't want to pencil you in. You can call whatever you want.
I guess I would, these are tough questions. I guess I would say Utah. Well, I don't know. We'll go with Utah.
Utah, all right. What about with your family? Well, your family was with you. You had to call a state where you had your best experience.
Yeah, well, I guess that I would go with Colorado because, yeah, Colorado and Utah.
Okay. All right. I'm a fan of both, so I mean, I just like to be outside. You couldn't make me unhappy probably anywhere, but
no, that's the key, being outside.
Yeah, well, I mean, so you and I have been at this for a while. What do you think the biggest challenge that we backpackers face these days? I think you kind of hit it on them earlier when you were talking about the internet, cell phones, the access to information, but. I'll let you speak.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you, I guess again, going to this, what first leaps to mind, I think, I guess I would say what, it's the kind of a range of challenges. I think, I guess as an older hiker, I think there's just a challenge of, staying safe. You got to be a little more mindful of your physical abilities. Even, like ticks. I mean, like there's those are things that in every step to think about. So I guess that's sort of the challenge of kind of growing old gracefully and what you can do and not put someone else in any danger. I think that a challenge is going to be to, as interest in, is the pipe, as people are maybe less interested in the outdoors, then I think there's a challenge in that we want to make sure that there's, I guess, for lack of a better word, consumer. So, if not enough people are interested in backpacking, then there's less incentive for states in the United States, places to preserve land. So I think, we've got to make sure that there's more diversity in the people who go backpacking so that there's more interest and more, it's kind of hard to say to people, hey, let's spend all this money and preserve all this land, but you're really not welcome here. So I think backpackers have to be open to that to make sure that there's a lot of people interested in backpacking. So we've got a reason to keep all these places beautiful.
Yeah, I think COVID-19 might have changed that a little bit. I think there's people outside more than ever right now because of the virus. But I understand what you're saying. Any final thoughts? Just, if you want to give one takeaway for someone that's going out with their baby, their kid, their teenager for the first time?
Just go. I mean, as long as you're, what's the worst that can happen? You come back early. I mean, if you just, it's some ways it's pretty simple. Just go find an adventure, start small, but don't be afraid. I guess what one thing I've learned recently is like, there's, I sometimes have in my mind, like, it's gotta be this, this kind of trip, and that really there's no wrong way to backpack. So whatever works for you and whatever works for you and works for your family, that's backpacking, whether you go 1 mile or 100 miles, or whether you bring cell phones or not bring cell phones, or whether while you're singing songs, whatever you do, it's just there's no one way to do it. There's no right way.
Yeah.
As long as you're being respectful to the place and respectful to other people, but there's no, just go.
Yeah, you're out there. You did it. Totally agree.
Yeah.
I will tell you that, somewhere in there, I was having a conversation with someone else that I spent a lot of time on the trail with. And, we were discussing the fact that kids get really bogged down in activities. And, they could do many, many sports events. They could do many, many other events. But in the reality, if they just go backpacking with their parents one time, that will be what they will remember 30 years from now. It won't be that missed pitch. It won't be that goal that they missed. It won't be the football they didn't catch. It'll be like spending time with their mom and dad in the wilderness. And I think that's probably the biggest message I could just give the audience here is that, that is something your kids will remember for all time. For sure. Yeah. Whether you do it once or you do it multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, I admit there was sometimes we had something scheduled, there being some sporty thing. And I knew like, oh man, if they make the playoffs, then there's going to be a game on Columbus Day weekend. And no, please, no. you can skip things, it can be part of your figuring out when you can take your kids camping or hiking, you can plan, You don't have to do everything else. Like, those should be priorities.
Yeah, agreed.
I think so.
you and me are on the same page on that one. But, Dan, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I know you got a lot of experience in this topic, and it was great to have you. So thanks for reaching out. And, you know, I hopefully your kids will – they're going to hike the long trail, the Appalachian Trail. Maybe you've inspired them to do the long-distance trails.
We'll see. I'll have to interview them.
All right, man. Well, thanks again.
All right. Well, thank you. This is wonderful. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to the Into Backpacking podcast. This is your host, Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to this show, visit iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app, and give us a thumbs up or a positive comment while you're there. You can also download shows directly from intobackpacking.com. Just click the podcast tab on the main menu. Music for this show was provided by Jerris under a Creative Commons license and is titled Hillbilly Anarchy. This show is a production of Into Backpacking and is copyrighted by Into Ventures, Inc. For more information on this podcast or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at intobackpacking.com. That's the letter N, the number 2, backpacking.com.